ranked one of America's top research universities, the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries on UWM today. Here's the host, Tom Lujack, Vice Chancellor of University Relations.
10 years ago, UWM became one of the first universities in the state to establish an Office of Sustainability to help the campus become more eco-friendly. Well, today, the campus is recognized nationally for its efforts to conserve energy and to recycle. On this edition of UWM Today, we'll talk to the woman who's leading the sustainability program at the university. Kate Nelson joins us in the studio. And Kate, let me begin by congratulating you on news at the Sierra Club, just recently named UWM one of the top 50 universities in the entire country for its environmentally friendly policies. Quite an honor.
Yes, it is. It's a wonderful recognition. For me, it means more work ahead to be able to sustain that.
So what does it mean for a college campus to be sustainable?
So a college campus is a unique environment to do this work. It's perhaps, to me, one of the best places to do this work because you not only can work on the operations, but ultimately it's the learning environment that is important for future citizens. And so we can take a unique approach based on the place and the people that exist on our campus.
And so I mentioned some of the things that we're involved in, recycling and looking at energy conservation. Can you give us some examples of what's happened over the last 10 years?
Yeah, and so those are some of the foundations of sustainability. But really looking at not just planet, but people and prosperity are also very important to sustainability. And that's what kind of brings it all together. But on those fronts, we have made some major headway. Energy savings at UW-Milwaukee has been significant, and we work to sustain that. We have saved taxpayers over $17 million in avoided energy costs since about 2009. That's significant, and it's significant for the amount of greenhouse gases that we're also not putting into the atmosphere. To go along with that, transportation is also very important. It's actually, I would say, one of the advantages of being on a dense campus. We, as a community, need to make choices about our transportation very purposefully, and so we can also make some major headway on that. And our students, over 50% of our students use some kind of alternative transportation. Then, as you mentioned, recycling and waste. We don't limit that to your paper and plastics. It's, thousands of pounds of metal every month and electronic waste that is a part of our business, as well as, you know, your tables and chairs. Oh, a trampoline or two has wound up being reused on our campus, but there's a wide breadth to our recycling as well, and we keep trying to expand that.
You know, a lot of people may not consider it when they drive by a campus, but some of the places like UWM are like little cities. We've got, 26,000 students and nearly 5,000 employees. I mean, that's ranks right up there when you compare the campus size to municipalities all over the state.
Yes, it does. We have a unique population. We have a unique space. It's almost one of the most dense cities that there could be to do this amount of work.
Neighbors live really close together.
They live really close together. Yeah, sometimes office mates live almost on top of each other, those poor TAs. But yes, we're one of the most dense campuses in the country. And it also means the amount of hours that we use our buildings every day. That's also very impressive. And we make good use of our space at UW-Milwaukee.
I want to come back to something you talked about a moment ago. You said we've saved around $17 million in energy costs over the last decade or so. Can you give us some examples of your tactics? What steps have you taken to see those savings realized?
Yes, it was a very comprehensive approach. It wasn't a one-off here and it wasn't a one-off there. It was systematically looking at the buildings that needed the most work, that actually needed the most maintenance. Love to say, cellar to ceiling energy savings. So the most bang for our buck came from digital controls, knowing how and when people are using their spaces to heat, cool, and provide the right amount of ventilation, that was key. That was probably about 75% of our savings in about 4 million square feet on campus. Also,
4 million square feet, that's a lot of space.
That's a lot of space. Our university housing was also a part of this, and that really expanded the program significantly. But then, you know, simple things like caulking, making sure the doors were properly sealed where they needed to be. Lighting, of course, and that's actually an area where the things we did 7 years ago need to be updated again. And there's the newer technology is constantly evolving.
So new fixtures, new types of bulbs that use less energy?
Yeah, we went from T12s to T8s, and now we're at an opportunity where perhaps we'll start using, and we have used a little bit of LED lighting as well.
How long does it take to get a payback on the investments, on the capital investments that you make to upgrade or improve the facilities?
That's kind of the magic of the way we did the program. Some things have a very quick return on investment, 9 months, a year perhaps. We combine that, we call it bundling, with the long-term return on investment, like the digital controls. But we're also saving on maintenance, which is in a dollar, is not figured into the dollars. And so we can combine those to see something around a 16-year payback with everything we've done. But UWM was so aggressive that we've actually done things that are providing these kinds of savings in a much, much quicker timeline.
And when you think about the lifespan of a lot of the buildings on the campuses, they're built to last 50, 60, 75 years. So that payback is going to be continuous, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And we need the maintenance to be able to keep things up, just like everything that was old that we had to improve. And anything that's new, we also need to have the right training and attention to that as well. But ultimately, at a university, and this goes back to the unique nature of a campus, we look to be here for the next 20, 30, 50, maybe 100 years. So when we manage our energy right, properly, responsibly, we look to that future that we expect to see.
You're the first sustainability officer on the campus, as I mentioned at the beginning of the program, one of the first in the state. So UWM was really at the front end of this initiative. Did you meet any resistance? Did people, when you arrived on the scene, say, hey, what's this all about? We're doing fine right now, or were you embraced?
It's interesting to think back almost 10 years, and it wasn't easy, but I landed in a place with facilities where I was understood and I was welcomed, which made a great place for me to be able to grow from. And now it's just amazing. I can walk through campus and I know so many people. I work with so many different departments. The peer-to-peer culture and sustainability, I just kind of watch it happen now. And there's resistance because we have to use our resources wisely. So there's always going to be a program I can't quite do. The budget isn't quite there. But really, things have happened at UWM because of partnerships, not because we've had the money to do what needs to be done.
One of the aspects that I know the university likes to celebrate is the green roof. We I think, still have one of the largest green roofs, in Wisconsin?
Yes, we do. That's been a very great fortune of being an early adapter with Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewerage District. One of our focus points for sustainability is stormwater management. Living on Lake Michigan, that's a very high priority. We don't want to see the runoff from combined sewer overflows. And we also have the wonderful research of Professor Wassley to look at these issues in our infrastructure.
Jim Wassley from the School of Architecture and Urban Planning.
Yes.
A frequent guest on this program, actually.
Yes. So being able to combine my work on the administrative side with his research and his student studios and so forth, we've been able to be very aggressive to bring designs forward for grants and other opportunities. And we do have quite a few green roofs on our campus, as well as rain gardens and other features that collect water before it goes into our sewer system.
So Metropolitan Milwaukee Sewage District also saw it was in their interest to invest in these green roofs.
That's a really good point. The economic model really works. The gray infrastructure is there. There's only so much more they could do. They have made great strides in looking to the future for what the role is of green infrastructure and what it will help take care of in terms of these combined sewer overflows. One of the best partners we could have at a university.
Not only are you working with the people who work at the university and manage these buildings, but I understand part of your job is working with students. Let's talk about their involvement and whether they're aware that they are on this wonderfully cool green campus that is among the top of the 4,600 campuses in the country.
Yeah, you know, I hear both sides. I didn't know this existed. I didn't know you were here. And then I find so much building with our student leadership. That's probably been the most impressive thing in the last 2 to 4 years. Our students are getting involved. Their ethics are showing. They're taking action. They impress me every single day. I've never quite seen a student body like today than I have before.
What is it? What makes them interested in sustainability?
I think that there's a lot more understanding, not only of the amount of resources our planet is limited to, but really what I see coming forward is who has access to those resources. And truly bringing forward our mission on the access mission and so forth, there's a much more diverse population getting involved with this. And so a good example would be not only do we want to grow healthy food in our gardens, but we also want to address food insecurity on our campus. And the students are starting not only a food pantry, which is outstanding and it's happening really fast, but we also have a student network that is collecting, I like to call it excess food, it's not food waste, but being able to give it to a local nonprofit who is able to make meals out of it and distribute it. Some of that food is going right back to the ministry that serves our students. And so we're not only being able to collect the food, but the food pantry is coming to light. And that's kind of nestled in this understanding of access to food, empowerment to grow your own food. It's all kind of coming together. And I think the who is much more important than just the planet that seemed outside of ourselves.
You've got thousands of students living in university housing. I still call it a dorm, but I'm old school. I'm told I can't use that word anymore. It's a residence hall. Okay, so in our residence halls, you feed thousands of students. Any opportunities there to manage waste and to ensure that we are being good stewards of what we have to eat?
Yeah, that's actually one of the places we can do the most. It's a little bit more of what I would call a controlled environment. So they only have access to this food, and it's not as spread out, and they're not bringing anything from home. So the students are getting a lot of really good food. A program I ran this summer with high school students growing food through jobs actually sold that food back to restaurant operations.
And so the food grown on campus is consumed on campus.
It is. And we expanded that to work with Vincent High School, who's restarting their agricultural sciences program, and the Boys and Girls Club at the Mary Ryan Center. And so that was a major undertaking. But that food, restaurant operations said, yes, we will buy your butternut squash, tomatoes, kale, collards, the romaine, 43 pounds of romaine we harvested one day. But not only that, I mean, that's a small amount compared to these thousands of students to feed in the residence hall. But also, that's where we can control the composting, too. So the students are learning about what is composting, how does their food waste become soil, and we're doing a lot more projects with Sandberg Hall to collect that.
So you're establishing some lifelong habits on the part of these students who will go on and someday probably have their own household and be doing whatever they do with their groceries.
It's very interesting, too, because how many places in the public do you see composting? You know, it's still very rare. So we actually have to monitor the bins to help students. And I'm so impressed that in a long line of containers, they will come up to me and say, help me. How do I do this? And it makes your job so worth it because here you are handling trash. These students want to know. They want to learn the best practices. And these are usually freshmen in Sandberg Hall. And
are they biology students? Or
they're from, and that's an interesting thing, from all different all different disciplines are interested in this on
our
campus.
So they're not doing it because it's a science project. They're doing it because it's what? Part of a lifestyle.
It's the way they live in Sandberg Hall. Mm-hmm. It definitely affects their everyday. They have, you know, some of the, I almost said dorms. Some of the rooms have even like eco thermostats where they can power it down a little bit more than the normal. This is becoming their norm. People aren't surprised by a campus garden anymore. I've realized it's become the norm. And that's a great place to be. I should work my way out of a job.
I think you have a ways to go before that happens.
But, yeah, I probably do.
But we're glad you're in that job. And mm-hmm. the person who we're talking about in a great job is Kate Nelson. She is our guest on this edition of UWM Today. Kate is the Chief Sustainability Coordinator for the campus, actually one of the first people in the state to get a job like this on a college campus, has been doing it for almost 10 years. You're still a young, young lady, and so you've got a long career ahead of you, Kate, but you've accomplished a lot with UWM being named among the top 50 universities in the entire country when it comes to sustainability, as judged by a very good judge, the Sierra Club. Kate, let's talk about transportation. You mentioned it earlier, the fact that that we are a dense campus, and that means you got buses, you got bikes. How do you improve upon transportation to make us use fuel more efficiently?
I think it's mostly been about changing the conversation. It's not just about where do I park, it's how do I get to campus. And that is what really I can make a motion of a big wheel here, and that's where you start to turn it, is what is the conversation? And I've seen a great change in that in our committees, the discussions we have with faculty, staff, and students about making these choices and making more choices available and easier to use.
Well, let's go through those choices.
Sure.
What, you know, mm-hmm. college kid today, they don't have a car. What are their options at a place like UWM?
You know, my favorite, Bubbler. We were one of the first, well, we really were one of the first institution to join the City of Milwaukee Bike Share Program. The students had a reserve to be able to fund that system. It is now given student passes for, we're just entering our third year. So students have a deeply discounted access to the Bubbler Bike Share. It's fun. It's a big, you know, heavy bike with a basket, and sustainability is changing when you just see these smiles going down the street. It used to just be you looked at a recycling bin, you knew something was going on, and now Bubbler. So that's a great choice. And students are using it like gangbusters still.
How many bikes located around campus?
Well, we have 6 UWM locations, and it connects to over 40, maybe almost 50 plus in the city. And that's continuing to grow.
And there are multiple bikes at these stations,
yes.
So it's not, mine is gone. You've got,
yes.
What, 10, 20 bikes parked
yeah,
there at any
there's,
one time.
There's a variety of numbers based on the station, and Bubbler knows how many, so there's always a good balance. They see all those bikes leave at 11 o'clock at night in front of the library, and they were worried, and they didn't realize that it was midterms. And so they have to balance the system out to make sure there's more bikes for students, because sometimes more bikes leave then return. But they're doing a great job. And so students are really depending on it.
So that's real eco-friendly. Other ways that a college student could get around in an economical and sustainable fashion.
Yeah. So Bubbler satisfies the student that hasn't brought their bike to campus, maybe hasn't ridden a bike in a few years. But there's also a great number of students who bike of their own accord with their own bike. And I guess biking is my favorite these days. But being able to live in a walkable community is, of course, something we can't overlook, that the students, a lot of them have access to simply walk to campus. And then they all have a bus pass. That's part of the Student Segregated Fee Program. And all students have access to use the Milwaukee County Transit System as much as they would like.
That's built right into their fees, so mm-hmm. they don't have to have a buck or $2 in their pocket to jump on a bus.
Yeah, and so many of our students also come from farther away, and that's worth recognizing. And so we also have Zimride, which is a car share, a ride share program, a carpooling program for a more traditional term. And so students can find a ride if they're coming from Waukesha, Menominee Falls. Lots of students come up from Kenosha, you know, but they're not going to bike. So we have to have a lot of different options and then recognize how busy our students are. Some of those students, They need their car. They need to be able to get around. They're having jobs. They have childcare and families. And so you just think, how can I do the best we can on Monday or Friday, or this semester's a little bit easier? You know, they're just providing that flexibility.
And so students may not be tied to just one of these options. They may use many or all of them.
Yes, yes. I love how we have the bubbler stations at the residence hall on North Avenue, and they no longer have to wait for the shuttle. Or if it's raining, they have the shuttle. You know, they have the multimodal transportation. And along with that comes a lot of community work on my end and a lot of students on creating safe streets so that these options are viable and that they can live and work in a safe transportation network.
Well, you talk about the ubiquitousness of a bicycle and how you see it everywhere. One of the other things every college student has is at least one mobile device, a phone, a laptop, iPad. What happens to all of those electronics? Mm. Is your program involved in any of the recycling of things that get broken and you know, just need to go out?
Yeah, that's a big one. Where these materials come from actually is some of the parts of the world that see the most distress are mining the minerals for these things. A lot of our electronics for the campus are recycled through our electronic waste collection program. Students are also starting to have an opportunity. We are actually hoping to launch a student recycling program for phones and electronics and tablets. I know the Panther Shop is also doing some things to help collect or take an older phone or a tablet and invest it into a new one through a program. So we're kind of getting some of those things off the ground. But in terms of the state materials that we use as employees, we've had a program like that for many, many years, even before my time.
Because you have thousands of computers and phones on the desks of the people who are working at the university.
Yes, and we have to handle that securely. We have to have the right protections in place, the right IT security and things. And it's amazing what kind of goes into it because your phone will break. You have to go on to the next version. And I do think a lot of people think about what happens, but we really think about it. We handle thousands of pounds a month of electronic waste on our campus.
Yeah, and boy, you could be a real trendsetter knowing that you've got this huge concentration of material that could be put back into the environment, well, properly back into the environment, recycled
yes.
properly.
Yes, absolutely. And it's actually there's some things that are getting harder to recycle. Glass from our TVs is getting more difficult. We're worried about changing policy coming out of China. Our campus has to worry about those kinds of things and stay on top of that. So we're continually doing the right thing for security and for the environment.
What do you think the greatest challenges are going ahead for a place like UWM to continue to be eco-friendly, to have a campus that is really supporting the best uses of the material resources we have?
I think it will always come down to our values. And right now, not only on paper, but in principle and in action, the campus very much values stewardship and sustainability. It fits right into our access and research missions. There's such an astounding amount of research being done that would reflect sustainability and publication. And so I think as long as that is strong and our mission remains strong, we will always have a place for continuing sustainability. Leadership really matters. I feel surrounded by incredible leadership. I feel so lucky to do what I do at UWM. There's a reason I haven't left.
We're glad you haven't. The research that you talked about, are faculty members, are the people who teach environmental studies or business classes, are they engaged with you also in this discussion about how to be sustainable?
Absolutely. We have the School of Freshwater Sciences for a reason on this coast.
The only one in the country, only one in North America.
Absolutely. We need to sustain our region. And environmental sciences, absolutely, that program is growing. But also nursing, journalism. I've talked to perhaps more art students than science students. So it's really all across our campus. And I think the conservation environmental science is the draw for students who are interested in this. But so many of them see things through just a different lens, through engineering, civil, mechanical, electrical, architecture, urban planning. Our urban planning students are outstanding, and I've been able to do so much work with them. But then there's community health assessments that nursing was looking into, and it's reaching far and wide.
So each one of those different sectors sees self-interest. There's a benefit on the engineering side to make things that are going to last longer. There's a benefit on the public health or fresh water side to practice the best policies or create the best policies for working in an environment.
Yes, because ultimately, when we're talking about the health of the environment, we're talking about the health of everyone. We're talking about our own health. And the water, the air, what we do with the land use, that really impacts us. And like I said, back to the point of our education is to build better citizens. And it is not just for the butterflies and the monkeys and the whales, and as I kind of joke sometimes, it's very important, but it's ultimately our existence on this planet that we should be caring about, and we should be caring about each other. And that comes down to what resources are available and how do we sustain them.
And also celebrate the fact that so many resources are available to us in this country compared to other places in the world.
Yes, we are very fortunate. And I think it's a greater responsibility. We have the education at our fingertips to do the best we can, whatever discipline that someone is studying. And that is a responsibility to carry forward. If we're concerned about the future, you think about sustainability, we're hopeful for the future, education and their investment is so important for their future. And it kind of ties all together. It's the best place to be able to do this kind of work.
And the neat thing is you're dealing with a lot of young people who themselves can become models for their families, for the kids that they bring into the world.
They are. It's impressive. I also work with the Children's Center on campus. And one child I heard like pulled something out of the recycling bin because she could reuse it. So one student had recycled it, another pulled it out to reuse. I mean, there you know something's working.
Yeah, well, a lot is working. And we thank you, Kate, for the great work that you're doing on that home front at UWM.
Thank you.
Kate Nelson, UWM's Chief Sustainability Coordinator, our guest on this edition of UWM Today as we celebrate the Sierra Club's recognition of being one of the top 50 environmentally friendly campuses in the entire country. Well, that's all for this week's program. We thank you so much for taking time out of your day, out of your week, to learn more about the contributions that UWM makes to the community. Take care, everybody. We'll see you next week at the same time. I'm Tom Lejack.
You've been listening to UWM Today with host Tom Lejack, the weekly program where you get to meet the people behind one of America's top research universities, University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Playing a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin, UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Learn more at uwm.edu.